speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Well, it's Wednesday, 9/11, 2019, 18 years later. Later in the program, we're going to be joined by one of the directors of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, AE911truth.org. He's going to talk to us about the new report. And, of course, this guy has a background as a civil engineer as well as a special forces soldier, familiar with demolitions. As a matter of fact, he's very familiar with construction for containing explosions as well as rocket launches. He doesn't believe it. I don't believe it either. We're going to take a look at 9/11. We're going to go back and play President Trump's statements about that right after it happened. He didn't believe it at that point in time. What happened? You know, President Trump was going to do an investigation, wasn't he? And yet that has not happened. What has happened is we have seen the complete and utter destruction of the Twin Towers of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Yeah, they were on fire for quite some time. On fire for quite some time. You know, it took over 2 years for them to put it together. And just 45 days after 9/11, the government constructed the Patriot Act. And we're going to talk about the things that have followed in that and why the red flag laws are a natural extension of that, along with HARPA. This new bureaucracy that's being proposed via Ivanka Trump to the Trump administration, and by all reports, President Trump is buying into this. And apparently he's bought into 9/11 as well. But we're going to play where he was a few years ago. We're going to play what he had to say 18 years ago. We're going to talk about people's reactions to this. But, you know, I was one of those people who was a little bit slow coming around to this because we didn't have television. And I didn't see the towers actually fall. Most people who do see it don't believe the government story. Who are you going to believe, your lying eyes or that authoritative government? Or the vast majority of people hold their hands up and say, oh, that's exactly whatever the government says. That's what I believe, right? No matter how ridiculous. We should go back and watch or read some Sherlock Holmes. Arthur Conan Doyle said, when you rule out the impossible, whatever is left, no matter how improbable, is the truth. They call us truthers, and they laugh at us because we want to know the truth. The people who died deserve it. The people who died on 9/11 18 years ago deserve it. The people who died thinking that they were fighting for our freedom deserve the truth at this point. And the interesting thing is that the vast majority of Americans want the wars to end in Afghanistan and Iraq. The vast majority of veterans, basically it's the same. It doesn't really matter whether you served in that war or whether you didn't serve in that war. It doesn't really matter what rank you are in the military. Everybody is pretty much agreed. 58-59% want us to get out. Why are we still there? Well, because President Trump is listening to people like Lindsey Graham. Yes, John Bolton bolted or was fired or thrown out. And yet, if you look at Pompeo, if you look at the other people who are surrounding President Trump, if you look at the Pentagon, who flatly said, when President Trump said he was going to get out of Afghanistan, they said, no, you're not. You're staying. And now he's staying. Who is in charge? That's a very important question for us. As I said, it took 2 years for them to put the Constitution and the Bill of Rights together and get it authorized. Within just 45 days, they were able to put together the Patriot Act after that engineered spectacle. You know, the Constitution collapsed about as fast as the three buildings. Three buildings, two planes. And the Constitution Bill of Rights collapsed just about as quickly. Of course, they had been on fire for much, much longer than those two, three towers that were completely steel on the outside. I've been in that. I was in that building once. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's 9/11, year of our Lord 2019. We are now 18 years into post-constitutional America. How's it working out for you? As one author put it, if they hate us for our freedoms, as George W. Bush said, they must really love us now. They must really love us, because we have basically burned to the ground the Twin Towers of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I saw the tweet from President Trump, meant out of respect, I'm sure. We will never forget. It's the back of Melania and President Trump looking at "We will never forget." And yet, I question whether or not he has forgotten. Has President Trump forgotten what he saw, what he witnessed that day? What he told news outlets that he saw that day, questioning that? I said, you never forget. I will never dishonor the memory of those who died pretending that government lies about what happened are true. To me, that's what never forget means. Never forget you were lied to by the government so they could overthrow the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Never forget that. Never allow those lies to stand. Take back your freedom. Take back the truth. Take the red pill. You know, this is nothing but lies, deception, empty promises of safety to give up our liberty. That's all we've been fed. And we've been at a constant state of war ever since. Ever since. Are you safer? Are you freer? No, you're not. No, you're not. So let's go back to President Trump. You know, I went back. I found it on InfoWars. Actually, Google still has this. If you want to look at Trump's comments on 9/11, this article is still the first thing that comes up from InfoWars. That was back on November the 25th, 2016. That was when, right after the election. And we had the article there, but the article doesn't have any quotes from the video. What the article has is an embedded video from YouTube. And of course, that's gone. That's been flushed. actually, YouTube does allow a video that is the report from Fox News, the local channel there in New York, the interview that they had with him, the full interview. I've got a couple of excerpts here where they talk about what President Trump saw, what he believes happened, what he finds hard to believe that he's hearing people say. And they're still allowed, Fox is still allowed to have that up. InfoWars is not allowed to have that up by YouTube. It's been flushed down the memory hole. But now we're going to play this. You'll be able to find it in my show archives. You'll be able to find it on band.video from here on out. No problem. You'll be able to find it. Band.video. You can find, look for my program. By the way, we changed that now. We've got four programs. Will Johnson's got a program in the evening, so you'll see four faces up there. You click on one of those faces, and you go to that particular program. So if you click on my face, you're going to get information about 9/11. And you're going to see the original clip of what President Trump had to say that I'm playing right now. We want to get that there in band.video, since YouTube doesn't think you should be allowed to see it from InfoWars. Yeah. So let's play that clip. Clip number one.
So, Donald Trump is on the line. Indeed. I mean, we know him as the man behind lots of real estate in Manhattan. And, of course, Donald, I understand you were actually a witness to what happened this morning.
Well, I have a window that looks directly at the World Trade Center, and I saw this huge explosion. I was with a group of people, and I really couldn't even believe it. And even, I think, worse than that, for years I've looked right directly at the building. I'd see the Empire State Building in the foreground and the World Trade Center in the background, and now I'm looking at absolutely nothing. It's just gone, and it's just hard to believe.
Donald, Alan Marcus here. Your building is, the Trump Tower, is one of the great tourist attractions in the world. It's well-known universally. Are you taking any precautions there in light of what happened at the World Trade Center?
Well, Alan, we've always had, as you know, very, very strong security, but there's very little you can do about planes crashing into a building. I mean, you look at Larry Silverstein, who's a terrific owner in New York and a very good friend of mine who I just called. I was very worried about him because I assume maybe he was in the building. He took possession of the building 1 week ago. As you know, he just bought the World Trade Center.
Wow, isn't that interesting? You know, Silverstein took possession of the World Trade Center 1 week before this happened. And you had Bob Mueller take possession of the FBI 1 week before this happened. Oh, it's just amazing when you look at the coincidences here. It's just absolutely amazing. Coincidences, I'm sure. Absolutely. Nothing to see here. Just move on. But we will move on to what President Trump said later in the interview. It was about a 10-minute interview. And I want to get to what he specifically said about the collapse and about the building's construction. Let's play that clip.
You're probably the best known builder, particularly of great buildings in the city. There's a great deal of question about whether or not the damage and the ultimate destruction of the buildings was caused by the airplanes, by architectural defect, or possibly by bombs or aftershocks. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it was an architectural defect. You know, the World Trade Center was always known as a very, very strong building. Don't forget, that took a big bomb in the basement. Now, the basement is the most vulnerable place because that's your foundation. And it withstood that. And I got to see that area about 3 or 4 days after it took place because one of my structural engineers actually took me for a tour because he did the building. And I said, I can't believe it. The building was standing solid. And half of the columns were blown out. I mean, so this was an unbelievably powerful building. If you know anything about structure, it was one of the first buildings that was built from the outside. The steel, the reason the World Trade Center had such narrow windows is that in between all the windows, you had the steel on the outside. So you had the steel on the outside of the building. That's why when I first looked, and you had big, heavy I-beams. When I first looked at it, I couldn't believe it because there was a hole in the steel. And this is steel that was, you remember the width of the windows in the World Trade Center, folks. I think, you know, if you were ever up there, they were quite narrow. And in between was this heavy steel. I said, how could a plane, even a 767 or 747 or whatever it might have been, how could it possibly go through the steel? I happen to think that they had not only a plane, but they had bombs that exploded almost simultaneously because I just can't imagine anything being able to go through that wall. Most buildings are built with the steel is on the inside around the elevator shaft. This one was built from the outside, which is the strongest structure you can have, and it was almost just like a can of soup.
You know, Donald, we were looking at pictures all morning long of that plane coming into building number two, and when you see that approach the far side, and then all of a sudden, within a matter of a millisecond, the explosion pops out the other side.
Right. I just think that it was a plane with more than just fuel. I think, obviously, they were very big planes. They were going very rapidly because I was also watching where the plane seemed to be not only going fast, it seemed to be coming down into the building. So it was getting the speed from going downhill, so to speak. It just seemed to me that to do that kind of destruction is even more than a big plane because you're talking about taking out steel, the heaviest caliber steel that was used on a building. I mean, these buildings were rock solid. And, you know, it's just an amazing thing. This country is different today, and it's going to be different than it ever was for many years to come.
That's right. Country is different and will be for many, many years to come until we look clearly at the truth of what happened here. Because the lies that we have been fed have been used to change this country. You heard President Trump saying, you remember this building took a bomb in the foundation and half of the columns were blown out. But he said this building still stood. He says it's unbelievable, one of the strongest buildings I've ever seen. He said it was one of the first, he didn't say it was the only, one of the first to be built from the outside in, to have giant steel columns. He said the strongest structure you can have around the perimeter. And I've been in that building. I was in there before that happened. And, you know, they were spaced fairly closely together. You know, usually on a skyscraper, you've got a lot of glass on the outside. There you had that kind of a picket effect because it was there. And the anchor also agreed, yeah, I think there must have been explosions there. Because when that thing hits, you can see an explosion immediately coming out the other side. Yeah, President Trump said, I think it probably had explosives on that plane as well. Or something else. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're going to be joined in the next hour by Roland Engel. He is with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, AE911 Truth. He's been on the board of directors since 2016. He is an engineer, a licensed civil engineer, who has practiced for 52 years in California. And he is also a U.S. Army Special Forces vet trained in the use of explosives. He has designed and tested blast-hardened missile launch facilities, construction of flood control projects, design of harbor terminal facilities, design of earth foundation hydraulic systems, design of U.S. naval explosive containers. He has owned three construction companies, and he teaches engineering. And so we're going to have him on the next hour because we need to take a clear look at what happened. One of the things that they have at AE911 Truth is something called Project Due Diligence. They're trying to reach out to the engineering community, explaining what's wrong with the NIST report, the National Institute of Standards and Technology's report about the collapse of these buildings, how that is wrong, how its analysis is deficient. So he's going to be on with us to talk about that. So don't miss that. But let's take a look again at some of the political implications of this, what has happened in the last 18 years in terms of war and peace, in terms of the Bill of Rights and civil liberty and the surveillance state that has been erected in the wake of the panic of this. When we look at this, we've had a lot of people talk about a lot of theories as to what could happen. President Trump, having looked at the initial terror attack that was back in the 90s, when they bombed the foundation, and you just heard President Trump saying, you bombed the foundation. I mean, that's your foundation. You take out the foundation, typically a building will collapse. And, of course, it doesn't just collapse in its footprint. Take a look at YouTube. Take a look at building demolitions. And you typically don't see buildings neatly collapse that way. That is the design. A controlled demolition is to just have the thing collapse in its footprint. And if you start to look at controlled demolitions, you'll see that a lot of times it doesn't exactly work right. I mean, whoever did that did a great job. I don't know what they did. Did they pre-position explosives? We had Shel Silverstein, who was caught on tape saying, pull it. That's typically what they say when they collapse a building. We've had a lot of firefighters say they heard multiple explosions happening, witnesses to that. I was there when we were following the Pope around in New York, and we went down to the memorial area. They had a tour group that was going around talking about 9/11, and it was the Shel Silverstein Park. And so I just kind of stopped there to take a picture, and this tour group comes in. Jagari and I were there, and I just couldn't take it anymore. After he gave them a load of total bovine excrement, absolute nonsense that this guy was feeding the crowd. And they were just, sure. Don't ever question whatever they tell you. That's just the official story. I said, so why did Shel Silverstein yell, pull it? And a few other things. And they looked at me like I'm some kind of a homeless person on the street. They walked off, and it's like, okay, all right. It's your, we are homeless now. Anybody who believes in the Constitution, Bill of Rights, is homeless. Where liberty dwells, there is my country, as the founder said, and I don't have a country anymore. It ended. The last vestiges of it were removed post 9/11. And it doesn't look like they're coming back. So I don't know what happened. I mean, some people said directed energy beam, controlled demolition. I know what did not happen. I know you didn't have three buildings collapse when only two of them were hit by a plane. I know that they weren't brought down by fire in just a couple of hours. I know that a fire would not cause them to collapse in their own footprint. You can also take a look at steel skyscrapers, not built as well as the World Trade Center buildings. And you can see over and over again that they might be on fire for days and days, but the steel skyscrapers, they'll bend, they'll sag, they'll lean, but they don't fall down. I haven't seen any that have fallen down. And that's after days of burning. No, it wasn't brought down by fire. And so we're going to be talking about that coming up in the next hour. So I don't know what happened. I just know what did not happen. And if we know what did not happen, then that gets us closer to what actually did happen. If we can sweep away the lies that have been told us by the government, maybe we can sweep away the lie of the Patriot Act and get that in there. So, you know, it's kind of interesting as well when you look at all of this, apart from looking at it with your own eyes and questioning it as President Trump did back on that very day as he was interviewed. I played that for you in the last segment. Apart from that, why were there no lawsuits against the architectural firm for faulty construction? Because that was part of the requirement for building a skyscraper in New York. Skyscrapers had been hit by planes before. They had been hit, the Empire State Building was hit by a plane, and that became part of the building code, a worst-case scenario, especially if you're going to build the tallest building in New York. Don't you think you would have to engineer it for being hit by a plane under the worst case scenario? Of course you did. It was in the code. And the Empire State Building was not hit by a biplane with King Kong on the top of it, but it was hit by a plane. That did actually happen. And so there was no lawsuit against the architects who designed it. There was no lawsuit against the building inspectors who allowed a faulty subcode building to be built. As Tony Rook from the UK, his father was a policeman, and he got together with a lot of other policemen in the UK, did a documentary called Incontrovertible Proof. He set up a jury trial presenting the evidence to essentially put the official story on trial. He had retired judges, retired law enforcement officers. He had engineers and so forth on the jury present the evidence to them. And, yeah, they don't believe it either. And one of the things that he had to say was, one firefighter in the UK lost his job because he kept insisting to them to make a point. He said, well, if you're going to tell me that this building that was, you know, very strong design built to withstand being hit by an airplane, if you're going to tell me that this thing collapsed in just a couple of hours from fire, then why haven't we changed the procedures for fighting fires in skyscrapers? Look at all the firefighters who died because they were up in that building fighting the fires when it just collapsed. So why haven't you changed the code if you believe that? See, the government doesn't even believe its own lies. The government doesn't believe that it collapsed from a fire. They don't believe that it was built in a faulty manner. None of that. None of that. And so what did President Trump say? You know, we go back to November 10th, 2016. People were very hopeful at that point in time about what President Trump was going to do. Donald Trump's plans for his first 100 days in office are raising eyebrows around the world, reported News Punch. They said, but of all the items on his agenda, it is the reopening of the 9/11 investigation that will provide the greatest earthquake for the establishment. Trump had said, first of all, the original 9/11 investigation is a total mess, and it has to be reopened. And we'll have more about what he said and what he did not do when we come back. Stay with us.
Move me on to any black square. Use me any time you want. Just remember that the goal is for us all to capture only one.
Liberty. It's your move. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As I reported last week, the University of Alaska in Fairbanks did a four-year study. And what they did was they examined the structural response of World Trade Center 7, Building 7, the one that most Americans don't know existed. So they examined the structural response of Building 7 to fire loads that would have occurred. They ruled out scenarios that could not have caused the observed collapse. Deductive reasoning, right? You rule out the impossible, what's left, no matter how improbable is the truth. Anyway, they identified types of failures and locations that may have caused that collapse to occur, and they supplemented their own simulation by looking at the collapse initiation hypothesis developed by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, the NIST piece that was put out there. The interesting thing is they're going to put all this data up. They're uploading it right now. And they will have the data posted, they said, sometime between September the 16th and the 30th of this year. So we're still about a week to 3 weeks away from them getting all this data posted online so that you'll be able to review it for yourself. However, we have joining us in the next hour, Roland Engel, as I mentioned before, a professional licensed civil engineer who's practiced for over 52 years, also a U.S. Army Special Forces veteran trained in the use of explosives, and he teaches engineering as well as having multiple construction companies. He's going to be giving us an insight into what that actual study shows. And again, the data is not going to be up for anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks from now. We've just been given the overall conclusions. He's going to get into that a little bit more with us in the next hour. But let's go back to President Trump. Because, you know, apart from the fact that most people don't, if they actually look at this, it's interesting that most people don't buy the government's official story once you look at the film. I didn't. As I said before, I didn't see it the day it happened. I didn't see it for quite some time after that because we didn't have television. We had VCRs and we had other things that we did with our time. We didn't watch television. We completely turned it off. And that was kind of forced on us, but it turned out to be a real blessing. get you into some books and other things. But I didn't see what was happening. I didn't hear the narrative, but I saw the Patriot Act. And I was very upset about that. I remember getting a call from in-laws telling me, it's been hit. This is happening. It's like, wow, that's amazing. And then, and it's fallen down. And I imagined these giant skyscrapers not coming down into their own footprint, but I imagine them breaking off from the point at which they'd been hit, tumbling over, as you typically see in a building that doesn't come down in a controlled demolition. And I thought, wow, that's going to take out all of Manhattan if those buildings tumble over like you typically see. Except they didn't. They came down in a controlled demolition. So you heard President Trump saying it's hard for me to believe that. But he had some other things to say as he was running for president. And as he became president, let's go back to just a couple of years ago, back to 2016.
Saw, if you would.
I was waiting at table.
Hang on, can you hold that right there a second? Thanks. For the first time, he said 9/11 will be investigated by, other people commenting on it. It'll be investigated by someone who isn't part of the establishment. But what President Trump did say was he said, first of all, the original 9/11 investigation is a total mess and has to be reopened, he said. At one of the rallies that he was having in the campaign. And he said this, how do two planes take out three buildings in the same day? Again, most Americans do not understand three buildings, two planes. Three buildings, two planes. All collapsed in a controlled demolition. Three buildings, two planes. President Trump understood that. He said, I never got my head around the fact that nothing is mentioned about the destruction of Building 7 in the 585-page report. Ah, that is a smoking gun, isn't it, if ever there was one? They don't mention anything about the third building. As a matter of fact, when you look at the narratives today, pay attention. I seriously doubt you'll see anybody talking about the three buildings. Everybody talks about the Twin Towers. Daily Mail, for example. Haunting glimpse of Ground Zero. And they got tons and tons of pictures of what happened in the aftermath. And they refer to it as the Twin Towers everywhere. The Twin Towers, just two buildings everywhere. They don't talk about the third building. They don't talk about Building 7. And, of course, the government didn't talk about it in its 585-page report, as President Trump pointed out. President Trump said in the February debate, he said, of 2016, he said, the World Trade Center came down during the reign of George Bush. He kept us safe. That's not safe. Why did the administration at the time not take legal means against Saudi Arabia? Again, you know, if we had a design failure, why didn't they change the rules? Why didn't they sue somebody? If we had an inspection failure because it wasn't built properly, why didn't you have people sue the state of New York? If the Saudis did this and they did it with the help of the Saudi government, why didn't we attack them instead of Afghanistan? Why didn't we at least sue them? No, instead, as I'm going to show you here, the government covered that up. A lot of things to ask about this. He said, weren't 19 the hijackers from Saudi Arabia? Americans deserve answers. I will definitely request a new investigation. So this horrible tragedy never happens again. That was 3 years ago. I haven't seen that happen. I've seen President Trump dancing with the Saudis. It's not a reality, not dancing with the stars. No, he was dancing with the Saudis in a tribal ceremony. He is very friendly with the guy who likes to cut up dissidents piece by piece, the government that chops off more heads than ISIS. He's very comfortable with him now. Former Senator Bob Graham, again, going back to November 2016, former Senator Bob Graham, who is also the former governor of Florida, had been demanding for a long time a new transparent investigation. He said, quote, "For years, I've been campaigning for the release of the 2002 Joint Congressional Intelligence Committee 9/11 inquiry report, but to no avail. It's kept secret. It's kept secret." Wouldn't you think that an event that costs the lives of 3,000 people, wouldn't you think that an event that has led us to perpetual war, not just one, but multiple wars? We got, I lost count. Is it 7? Is it 8? Is it 9? Who knows how many wars we've got going, but we have been in a state of war since that event. And we have restructured our society. We have embraced a complete police state, surveillance state, allowing an army of rent-a-cops to put their hands on your body, to scan you with x-ray machines in order for the privilege of traveling. All of that has been done, and we're not allowed to see this report that was produced by our own government? Doesn't that stink to the high heavens? Yeah, it stinks, doesn't it? This whole thing reeks. And if you don't see the deception, there's no hope for you. He said these missing pages point to the direct involvement of the government of Saudi Arabia, said Bob Graham. Why are these being kept secret? Who is gaining from these games of secrecy? Senator Bob Graham said. That is the question. Why is it? Why is it that we have been lied to, we've been kept in the dark, and everything now is classified? Because when your government is criminal, you can't be allowed to know what they're doing. Just take a look at what's been done with the criminal FBI, and we are going to take a look at that, and what came out yesterday about General Flynn. But before we get to that, most Americans who see the collapse of Building 7 doubt the official story, finds a survey. After viewing video footage of controversial building collapse from four different angles, 52% of Americans who participated in the survey are either sure or suspect that it was caused by a controlled demolition. Interestingly enough, when you actually look at the footage, you come to the same conclusion that President Trump did on day one. They don't believe that. And that's really kind of good news because, you know, we would expect, because of the psychological experiments, the Ash experiment, the Milgram experiment, that they're going to defer to the crowd, the hive mind, and to sources of authority. But they don't. Welcome back. As I was saying before we went to break, you would expect from the repeated psychological experiments, I was just talking about how college Republicans, 70% of them, will lie in order to not get punished in college. They'll lie about their beliefs and what they believe. And of course, that is the Ash experiment, where to go along with the crowd, even if you know that something is wrong, you will give the wrong answer, even when it's obvious. And the Milgram experiment said people do that to be obedient to authority. And so we have both authority and the crowd in general telling you that. So you'd expect about 70 to 80% of the people would go along with the official story. And yet, if people look at the actual footage of the collapsing buildings from four different angles, only 48% go along with the original story. 52% reject it. Actually, it's 48% don't go along with it. 52% reject it. 21% are not sure or suspect that it was caused by ordinary fires. And we're going to dispel that fiction in the next hour. 27% say they're still don't know. They can't bring it to themselves to push back against that. And again, a key part of this is Building 7. 51% who see the collapse say they are more inclined to believe the critics who argued that only the use of explosives could account for Building 7's collapse. Why is that? Oh, because it wasn't even hit by a plane. And by a 3-to-1 margin, 48% say they would like to support a new investigation into Building 7's collapse. Again, President Trump, on the day that it happened, said, I don't think this could collapse. And when he was running for president, said, why is it? They don't even mention the third building, Building 7, in that 500-plus page report. What's going on with this? Underscoring the absence of the truth about this, especially by the media, in terms of Building 7, only 64% of the participants said they were aware that there was a third skyscraper that collapsed. So 36% don't even know that there was a third skyscraper there. And only 14% could name the building. Because I firmly believe that if we tell people and show people and prove to people what did not happen, and we show them that this national security state that we have created here is built on the foundation of a lie, that we could see that collapse. Because I think people are going to be very angry, and they should be very angry at the thousands of people who have died. The billions of dollars that have been spent and the thousands of more soldiers who died in these wars and the unending wars that we're now in. You know, when we look at what we have created in the wake of this, as Jacob Hornberger put it, we've created the national security state, a national security state. And we have, haven't we? Done? Everything is subject to national security. If we have to suspend all due process, as we did with the 2012 NDAA, because we had to fund the military, the national security had to be funded. So if they stick something in there that says the military can arrest you and hold you and detain you and transport you to another country if they wish without any due process, then, oh, well, let's do that because we've got to fund national security. It is the altar on which we sacrifice the Constitution and all of our liberties. And this is what we have now. As the military-industrial complex crossed the Rubicon 18 years ago today. That was the fall of the Republic, just as surely as when Julius Caesar crossed it. What is a national security state, says Jacob Hornberger? He says it's the type of governmental structure that has an enormous permanent military intelligence establishment. In the case of the United States, that means the Pentagon, the vast military-industrial complex, foreign military bases, the CIA, the NSA. It also means power, enormous power, not only for the overall government, but also within the government structure itself. And to put it in context, he says, Egypt is a national security state. So is China, Cuba, Russia, and the United States. Yes, as Julian Castro, a presidential wannabe, was saying, we are becoming a banana republic. Now, he said that because he didn't like the way President Trump responded to the nonsense about the hurricane. Was it going to go to Alabama or not? This is the way they distract you and lie to you. He goes, well, this is just, the rhetoric is just so bad, we're going to a banana republic. No, we are a banana republic with nuclear weapons. And we have been since this happened. When we look at what happened in the aftermath of it, consider, as I said, it only took 45 days for them to pass the Patriot Act. And what is the Patriot Act? Just to remind you, you know, that wonderful little acronym that they engineered, providing appropriate tools. You think the tools that we provided are appropriate? Not according to the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. Providing appropriate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the legacy of Bush, as we look at that. It took a little bit longer for them. But, you know, in a few months after, that was October that they got that, end of October, October 26th, they passed the Patriot Act. They created Homeland Security by July 2002. The Justice Department unveiled plans for Operation TIPS. And that acronym was Terrorism Information and Prevention System. TIPS. They said it would be, quote, a nationwide program giving millions of American truckers, letter carriers, train conductors, ship captains, utility employees, and others a formal way to report suspicious terrorist activity. Or you could just say red flag your fellow citizens as a Stasi snitch. See something, say something. The feds plan to enlist as many as 10 million people to watch other people's quote-unquote rhythms. Rhythms. This is James Bovard going back to the history. 9/11 and the road to America's Orwellian hell. They also provided no definition of what suspicious behavior would be. That's up to you. You don't like somebody, you just report them. Report them to CPS, and they can take the kids without any due process. Homeschoolers, the kids are playing outside during the day. That's suspicious behavior. You better take those kids. That's what we have turned into. Between the war on drugs and the war on terrorism and CPS and now red flags, that's what we've turned into. They said even the U.S. Postal Service briefly balked at participating in this program. The ACLU didn't like it at the time, but boy, they love red flag laws now, don't they? This is what they said at the time, and just think about this in light of the new red flag laws that they love. Because it comes after your gun rights. They have to. They had the Patriot Act, and now they must act against patriots who owned guns. But they said at the time, this is a program where people's activity statements and posters in their windows or on their walls, their nationality, their religious practices will be reported on by untrained individuals without any relationship to criminal activity. Yeah, that's right. You're going to get... I don't like you. I don't trust you. I'm afraid of you. I don't know anything about this, but I think you're suspicious. ACLU didn't like that, but they want that when it comes to gun activity. Anything that's suspicious now, we're going to flag that, SWAT team you to take your guns. If you're still alive, we might lock you up in an insane asylum. That's now what President Trump is pushing ahead with HARPA. We also had DARPA get involved in this with their Total Information Awareness Act. Remember that? Total Information Awareness? They had to take that down. People were kind of creeped out about that, but people wouldn't be creeped out about that today. No, it's just fine. We're now accustomed to that 18 years later. The guy they put in charge of it was Admiral Poindexter, who had 5 felony charges from the Iran-Contra lies that were done. They didn't even put any felony charges against him and Oliver North for the crack cocaine epidemic that they started for the same purpose. And at the same time, they also created LifeLog. DARPA created LifeLog, a log of everything that you do throughout your entire life that they can always search. Well, they shut that down a year later as soon as Facebook opened. Isn't that interesting? All these timings here, you know? A week before, you got Shel Silverstein getting Building 7 there. A week before, Bob Mueller becomes FBI director. They shut down LifeLog right as Facebook is starting up. Just amazing the coincidences that you see here, isn't it? Folks, if you want to support us here at InfoWars, we've been telling you the truth here. Alex Jones, InfoWars, has been telling you the truth for decades about this. We're not going to shut up about this either. They may take us down on YouTube, but if you support us, we can put these same videos back up on band.video. So go there, take a look at the various broadcasts, the shows that we now have, and... to support us, take a look at the new products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have Super Silver Skin Cream. It's an excellent natural skin cream that is supplemented with a pretty high level of nano silver to fight bacteria and virus. We also have Chill Force, our newest product to help you to relax, to get rid of stress. And you'll also find sales on DNA Force Plus and Super Male Vitality. You can get a free bottle.
Making sense common again. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Another aspect of what began 18 years ago was the focus on Islamic terror, except they didn't focus on it, did they? It's on again, off again. You know, we had to get General Flynn out, and I've got an update on what was revealed yesterday in the hearing for the U.S. District Court judge is absolute bombshell what came out in that hearing. But he was replaced, and they put in McMaster, who said, you're not going to talk about Islamic terror. You're not going to talk about Islamic jihad. You're not going to use those phrases here. That's banned now. And we have a U.S. church that had to cancel their 9/11 event due to Muslim pressure from CARE, the PR firm, Council on American Islamic Relations, that got that canceled. This is a Michigan church. They had an event that was critical of Islamic supremacism. And so they got complaints from politicians and from CARE. And they had to shut that down. It was a Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church. It was in Michigan. They had a two-day event called 9/11 Forgotten. Is Michigan surrendering to Islam? Yeah, they're seeing a massive importation of the very people that the government was telling us took down these buildings 20 years ago. And as the church's pastor said, Islam is a growing threat in the United States of America. We don't hate Muslims, but we hate the ideology that they're identified with. That's exactly right. See, Islam is not a race. Islam is a religion. Islam is a legal system. Islam is a political system, a government. And we will continue to attack Islam. You're not going to stop me from saying anything about Islam. I don't have any problem with Muslims. I don't have any problem with the people. Islam is not a race. But you better understand what's going on with that. And you better understand how this has all been, go after these people, but don't go after these people. The way that Mueller and these other people in government, and maybe that's an important part of waking people up, is for them to see what Mueller has done. I'm going to go into that in detail coming up in the next segment. But just think about that for a moment. You know, we got to fight Islamic terror. The evildoers, said George W. Well, you know, we were told that it was virtually all Saudis that did it. Instead, we went to Afghanistan. We fought them there. Then we went to Iraq, which, you know, there wasn't even a tenuous connection in Iraq. You know, they're saying, well, you know, Osama bin Laden, he was from Saudi Arabia, but he's living in Afghanistan, the Taliban, and so forth and so on. And these guys in caves flew planes into two buildings, and three of them collapsed. You know, that narrative, of course. But why did we invade Iraq? And this is why I'm so pessimistic about anything being done about this from the level of the presidency or anybody in Washington. This is going to have to be a grassroots movement based on people waking up to the truth of this. Because even we have somebody like President Trump, who didn't believe this narrative from day one, and as he was running, said, we're going to open up another investigation. Then immediately he becomes president. What does he do? He appoints the woman, Gina Haspel, who supplied the lies that got us into the Iraq war, the lies about weapons of mass destruction. They were the product of torture. Gina Haspel presided over the various torture sites there, and she destroyed the videotapes of that torture. She destroyed the evidence, and she was rewarded by President Trump, put in charge of the CIA. That might help to explain to you why we don't have an investigation of who the real culprits are behind all of this. If they will lie and cover up about that, if they will lie about what they were doing to General Flynn, and I've got a lot of details on that we're going to have coming up in the next segment. But of course, it's not just the church. A 9/11 Senate hearing, absolutely no mention of radical Islam, Islamic Jihad, nothing about that. Instead, you know what they talked about in the wake of 9/11? Climate change poses an existential threat. So I guess now we're supposed to believe that 9/11 was caused by climate change or guns, guns, guns.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back on the 18th anniversary of 9/11. What did the Senate do? Well, they had a Senate hearing about 9/11. They didn't talk about radical Islam. They were supposed to be the perps, right? This is Monday's Senate Homeland Security hearing. They held it at the National 9/11 Memorial and Museum in New York City, New York. And yet you had Janet Napolitano and Jay Johnson, both former directors of the Department of Homeland Security, which was created in the wake of 9/11. And they won't talk about radical Islam, even though we've had attacks by radical Islamicists at Chattanooga, Fort Hood, Orlando, San Bernardino, and many other places. No, they don't want to talk about that. Instead, what we hear from them is climate change poses an existential threat to America and to the Earth. That was said by a Democrat senator, Gary Peters. He linked climate change to 9/11 in his opening remarks. Climate change poses an existential threat, not only to the U.S., but to our entire planet. The Department of Homeland Security is our first line of defense against these and other challenges, and so forth. So I guess, you know, those buildings now, maybe they're going to change the story, since the fact that they collapsed from fire is so absurd, especially when you had three buildings collapse right in their footprint just hours after only two of them were hit by a plane. So now they've got to come up with something else. I guess, you know, everything can be because of climate change. Janet Napolitano told us what is not a problem, and that is the U.S. border with Mexico. She said that is not a threat to the homeland. Well, I guess it depends on what you consider to be the homeland. Is it a North American union now? As Nancy Pelosi said, we just happen to have a, you know, it's one community. We just happen to have a line running through it, you know, kind of like that line that runs between Texas and Oklahoma or something. No problem, she said. And she said, we don't need a wall. We don't need a wall. The U.S. border with Mexico is not a threat to the homeland. Now, Jay Johnson told us what he thought was a threat. So one senator says it's climate change. Jen Napolitano says it is not the border with Mexico. And then we have Jay Johnson say gun safety, gun safety, gun safety. That's my top three national priorities. Gun safety. Mm-hmm. He said, I support anything consistent with the Second Amendment that has bipartisan support. Oh, he sounds just like the Republicans, doesn't he? They have reached bipartisan support on gun control. The problem is, Jay, is that if you actually read the Second Amendment, it says no infringement. And so there isn't anything that you could do or have done in the past with past gun legislation that is consistent with the Second Amendment. There is no gun legislation done by the federal government especially. Nothing is consistent with the Second Amendment. Doing nothing about it is the only thing that is consistent with the Second Amendment. But let's talk about this this narrative and how Bob Mueller, the guy who was put in place at the FBI exactly 1 week, September the 4th, 2001, 1 week before the event, a new lawsuit has come out relating to the September 11th attacks. According to former FBI investigators, Bob Mueller was not interested in investigating how the Saudi government may have assisted the hijackers, even though they're virtually all, we were told they're all Saudi nationals. Records show that he covered up evidence pointing back to the Saudi embassy and to Riyadh, the capital, and may have even lied to Congress about what he knew. Say it ain't so. I mean, the FBI, can you believe this? The FBI and the director of the FBI, some guy who's just so straight up like Bob Mueller that he would actually lie to people going all the way back to September 11th. And we've seen a pattern of this throughout his entire career, up to and including what he tried to do to our election. Why wouldn't he do that? Why wouldn't the same people who overthrew our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, why wouldn't they try to overthrow our election as well and the president? New York Post reports that the victims agree. One survivor who was pulled from the rubble of the World Trade Center 18 years ago, said he was the master when it came to covering up the Saudi kingdom's role in 9/11. Another plaintiff said in October 2001, Mueller shut down the government's investigation after only 3 weeks and then took part in the Bush administration's campaign to block, obfuscate, and generally stop anything about Saudi Arabia from being released. Isn't that interesting? You know, when they say Saudi, Saudi, Saudis, and then they classify those 20-some-odd pages. What was it, 28 pages, I think? I can't see any of that. That's going to be secret. A lot of this stuff is going to be secret. They said time and again, agents were called off from pursuing leads into Saudi Arabia's embassy in Washington, as well as its consulate in L.A. In Washington, a former FBI agent, John Guandolo, who worked terror cases out of the Bureau's D.C. office, said then Saudi Ambassador Prince Bandar, yeah, Prince Bandar, Saudi, you call him Saudi, he was the CIA's man, you can't tell where the CIA ends and Saudi intelligence with Prince Bandar began. Anyway, the so-called ambassador, Prince Bandar, said, quote, should have been treated as a terror suspect because he gave money to the woman who funded two of the 9/11 hijackers. But he was never questioned either. Instead, Mueller obliged what Guaidó said was an outrageous request from Bandar within days of the attack to help evacuate from the country dozens of Saudi officials, including at least one Osama bin Laden relative on the terror watch list. Remember that? Remember when within a couple of days, you know, it's like, oh, well, we got all of the Saudis and the family members of Osama bin Laden. We flew them out secretly. Well, the guy who did that, working on orders from the Bush administration, was Bob Mueller himself. In 2002, Mueller prevented agents from arresting the Saudi-sponsored al-Qaeda cleric who privately counseled the Saudi hijackers. At the same time, Mueller removed a veteran agent from investigating a tip that an advisor to the Saudi royal family had met with some of the Saudi hijackers at his home in Sarasota, Florida, effectively killing the case. That home was suddenly abandoned 2 weeks before 9/11. Mueller even tried to shut down a congressional investigation into the Saudi hijackers and their contacts in L.A. and San Diego, said Bob Graham, former governor of Florida, former senator, who said for years, you know, he said this in 2016, for years I've been trying to get this stuff declassified, trying to get the truth out of these people. The senator said that, Bob Graham. He also gave testimony to Congress, did Bob Mueller, that was at the very least misleading. In an October 2002 closed-door hearing, Mueller claimed that he found out about the Saudi 9/11 connections only as a result of what you guys have done. I didn't know anything about this until you guys discovered it. You notice how they've done that in the Russiagate lies and investigation? They did that as well. Oh, I didn't know anything about that until you brought it up. He said to them, facts came to light here, and to me, frankly, that had not come to light before. I knew nothing about that. I know nothing until you said that to me. Only, however, you had one of the FBI agents said that he gave Mueller, quote, daily briefings on these same connections going all the way back to 2001. A former FBI agent said of Bob Mueller, he's a villain and an arrogant one to boot. Well, why shouldn't he be arrogant? They can do anything that they want. No matter what these guys do, no matter what Comey or the rest of these guys do, they get off. It's absolutely incredible what they're able to get away with. But, you know, take a look, as I said yesterday, about General Flynn. Yesterday, he was really exonerated by a bombshell memo that has now surfaced by the Department of Justice. They're still keeping the exact memo classified, hidden, even though it would prove him innocent. That's called exculpatory. And when you hide information that would keep somebody, show somebody as innocent, when you do that, that is the kind of society that we have created here in the wake of 9/11. The Star Chamber courts and so forth. He went before, he and his lawyer, General Flynn, went before U.S. District Court Judge Emmett Sullivan yesterday. And we're going to tell you when we come back from break what this memo is about that proves that Michael Flynn is innocent, proves that Comey and the rest of these guys like Bob Mueller are the criminals. We'll be right back. Stay with us. A bombshell revelation at the hearing of Michael Flynn, General Flynn, yesterday. His counsel, Sidney Powell, revealed in court the existence of a Justice Department memo from, get this date, listen to this date, January the 30th, 2017, exonerating Flynn of any collusion with Russians. So what's this been about for the last several years, right? Why'd they move ahead with this? They had an internal memo saying there's nothing here. Move on. The memo, which has still not been made available to Flynn's attorney, is part of a litany of Brady material that she is demanding from prosecutors. And the U.S. District Court Judge Emmett Sullivan, who was at the hearing yesterday, said, well, we'll postpone the sentencing hearing to December the 18th. He said, we've got to take a look at this Brady order. In other words, you've got to turn over the evidence that you've got. You can't hide stuff, especially if it disproves your case and proves that the defendant is innocent, that General Flynn is innocent. Powell likely, that's the lawyer for Flynn, will likely seek to have the case dismissed for egregious prosecutorial misconduct, and I had reported that, but the new thing is this memo here. If the prosecutors here were seeking justice instead of a conviction, she said, General Flynn would not have been prosecuted. They have been hiding evidence that he was exonerated in early 2017. How can this be? How can we have a government where the FBI and the CIA would try to overthrow our election, where they would come after innocent people, where they would hide evidence, where they would go to a secret process in a FISA court, a court that was set up because of abuses of the CIA and the NSA in the 60s? It was set up in the 1970s to stop these kind of abuses, and they used that to get a search warrant on Mr. and Mrs. Verizon, as Rand Paul has said. They used that to set up orders to come after people inside the Trump administration. It was a coup by the Obama administration. Flynn's lawyer Powell noted the extraordinary misconduct of the government during the hearing. She said the discovery of the memo shatters not only the narrative that was pushed by former Obama administration officials regarding Flynn, but also the ongoing narrative that President Trump's concern over Flynn's prosecution amounted to alleged obstruction. So that's very important. They keep saying, well, you know, you're trying to stop this prosecution of Flynn. Well, it was a persecution of Flynn. And if you go back and look at even Comey's testimony, what President Trump had to say was not in any way, shape, or form obstruction. You're just saying, I don't really think there's anything here. You guys, why are you pushing that, you know, questioning that? Now, in late August, we finally had the report from the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz. And, you know, he released his report on Comey. And then, of course, you know, he said, well, you know, Comey is a lying piece of excrement, but we shouldn't do anything about it. As they put it in this report here, they say it was scathing. It revealed that he violated FBI policy, but the Department of Justice decided, Attorney General Barr, decided no prosecution for Comey based on Horowitz's referral. But they're going to continue to go after General Flynn. And I got to ask, you know, why is the Department of Justice under Attorney General Barr, why are they still moving forward with this? Why don't they declare a mistrial? Why doesn't Attorney General Barr reveal this information that's been kept hidden, illegally hidden, from Flynn's attorneys? Why is that still going on? Well, it's going on because nothing has changed. Nothing has been done to drain the swamp. Nothing's been done to fill the swamp, to reform the swamp, to do anything to the swamp. The existence of such a memo calls into question Comey's actions, both when he met with Trump privately and when he wrote his personal memos about the meeting. Why didn't Comey reveal to Trump, writes Sarah Carter, why didn't Comey reveal to Trump that Department of Justice found no evidence that Flynn was an agent of Russia when he met Trump at the White House on that February the 14th meeting? Again, they had already said 2 weeks earlier, nothing here. Why were the stories about Flynn, along with classified information regarding his phone conversations with the former Russian ambassador, Kislyak, leading to the Washington Post in January, leaked, rather, to the Washington Post in January, and then another follow-up in early February? Why are they still doing this? Remember, the information was leaked by senior government officials, according to the author and the columnist, David Ignatius. Ignatius said the senior officials accused Flynn of violating the Logan Act, and even worse, conspiring with Russia. This is where it all began. We had to get somebody out of there. You know, had to begin this whole thing, and where better to start than with a guy that you had to get out so you could pretend that Islamic terror doesn't exist, even though that was the whole basis for the Patriot Act and everything else. New information that former Deputy Director Andrew McCabe advised that there was no Logan Act violation. along with the Department of Justice internal memo of January the 30th, 2017, that Flynn was, quote, not an agent of Russia, unquote, was enough information for Comey to advise the president that Flynn had been cleared of any wrongdoing. But he didn't do that, did he? Instead, 2 weeks later, he was meeting with President Trump and didn't tell him any of that. Comey later admitted that the FBI agents he sent to interview Flynn didn't believe that he was lying about his conversation with the former ambassador either. And one of the things that Flynn's attorneys have been saying is, you know, supposedly they came and they talked to him. He didn't realize that he was being deposed or that it was an official interrogation. They took notes and allegedly they said that he lied to them. And yet you can't see that report. You can't see the report from those agents. And then there was supposedly a reworking of that where they said that he did or he didn't. And you can't see that rewrite of that report either. Does this kind of stink? Is it kind of like the 9/11 report? When we have a criminal government that lies and conceals information to people and can get away with any of this stuff, because no matter when, you know, what you find out about these people, absolutely no chance of them being prosecuted. Not by Attorney General Barr. What is going on here? We also have this. FBI was given evidence of a Clinton-linked scheme in Libya. But instead, they launched this Trump-Russia investigation. They recently made public FBI records reveal, and this is records that were obtained by Judicial Watch, reported by Zero Hedge, recently made public FBI records reveal that the agency virtually ignored evidence from private GOP-backed sources about a scheme in which Hillary Clinton associates tried to exploit her position as Secretary of State in order to profit from the 2011 turmoil in Libya that she helped to create. So let's not forget, you know, on this anniversary of Benghazi, you know, that happened on the anniversary of September 11th in 2011. What was going on behind that? The documents provided to the FBI, just as they were kicking off their Trump-Russia investigation, alleged that Clinton confidant Sidney Blumenthal sent her a series of detailed memos and reports about Libya intended as a quid pro quo. They said, you know, he's taken $66 billion and shipped that off to offshore funds. If we can get that and return that, we can take a finder's fee. Remember what Julian Assange and WikiLeaks told us about Hillary Clinton's memos? The whole reason they came against Gaddafi in the first place was because he had a gold-backed currency in competition with the central bank's fiat currencies.
Using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, and on this 18th anniversary of September the 11th, we have joining us now Roland Engel. He has served on the board of directors of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth since 2016, but Roland has a very long history as a licensed civil engineer. He's had multiple construction companies. He has experience in the design and testing of blast-hardened missile launch facilities, design of earth foundation hydraulic systems, design of U.S. naval explosive containers, and so forth. He's taught engineering. And, of course, he's also been a U.S. Army special, been in the U.S. Army Special Forces, trained in the use of explosives. And he is part of a project that you'll find at Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. That's, again, their website is AE911truth.org. AE911truth.org. They have a project there called Project Due Diligence, and they are questioning the validity of the NIST report, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, trying to explain how these skyscrapers could collapse in free fall. So we're going to talk to him about that and also talk to him about the University of Alaska Fairbanks study, their four-year study, saying, no, you know, these buildings did not collapse from the fire. So joining us now is Roland Engel. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me on, David.
Let's talk a little bit about Project Due Diligence. This is something that you've been coordinating there at Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Tell us a little bit about that.
Project Due Diligence is our effort to reach out to the rank and file engineers across the country to tell them the information that's included in the NIST reports. The NIST reports purport to explain why the Twin Towers came down and why Building 7 came down on 9/11. And we have found those reports to be full of errors and inconsistencies and internal contradictions that invalidate their conclusions. Unfortunately, most engineers across the country are unaware of the contents of those reports because the reports themselves comprise about 11,000 pages of information.
Oh,
and
wow.
most engineers are not going to take the time to go through that that voluminous information. And we've done so over the past 12 years. We've got our volunteers and our engineering associates pouring through those reports, and we've come up with about a dozen things that are wrong with each of the reports.
And of course, everybody is very busy in their everyday life, and you point out it's 11,000 pages and so forth. So most people, you know, engineers are going to take a look at the executive summary at the top. You know, well, what does this study say? Well, it's, you know, this is a authoritative source, and they've got a very, very detailed report, and here's their summary of this, or I've seen their simulation video or whatever, and they'll leave it at that. What did you find, though, when you started to examine this, to call this into question?
Well, when it came to Building 7, we found that they ignored some very pertinent facts that have to be addressed if you're going to have a real valid engineering assessment of what occurred. They ignored the fact that the building went into free fall when it started to collapse, and it continued that free fall for about 2.5 seconds. Now, the only reason that something can go into free fall is because it has no resistance to its falling. So that means all the structural members that are built to resist the collapse of the building have suddenly ceased to act for those 2.5 seconds. Well, that's a drop. In 2.5 seconds, an object will drop about 100 feet. So that means that about 8 stories of the building did not provide any resistance to the collapse whatsoever as the building began to come down. So that was a real problem, that the NIST acknowledged that there was free fall, but it is silent on what that means. And furthermore, their whole theory about how the building collapsed involved thermal expansion of some of the structural members and connections that failed, and then a progressive sort of collapse where one failure at a local location led to more members failing throughout the structure. Well, that takes time. And time is your enemy in this case if you're trying to get the building to come down as it was observed in free fall for the first 8 stories. That explanation just doesn't work on the face of it. And when we went into the details and we saw the way that they had set up their computer model, we realized that the input data that they had put into their model was erroneous, and in some cases left off structural members that were essential to the functioning of the structure. So,
in other words, garbage in, garbage out. And we've seen this over and over again. Somebody's got a detailed report, they got a computer model and everything, but if your model is incomplete or erroneous, you just got a computer printout, right?
That's right. You're only as good as what you put in. So when we did that study, we realized that we found all these inconsistencies, and they seemed to be all designed to make their model appear to work. But in reality, if you correct those inconsistencies and address those internal contradictions, their conclusion is invalid.
And again, going back to Building 7, this is a building that was not hit by a plane. This is supposed to be some secondary fires that brought down a steel skyscraper. We've never seen this before. We've seen steel skyscrapers burn for days, and they'll get bent or they'll have a partial collapse, but not even really collapse, let alone in free fall, as we saw with this. But you know, what is the NIST explanation when they don't even have an air? They haven't had structural compromise by a plane supposedly hitting it or anything else like that. How is it supposed to get such an intense fire that it would just collapse in hours?
Well, they admit that this is the first time that this has ever happened in history. They say extraordinary event. And then they come up with a conclusion which requires just an unbelievable sequence of events that cannot be replicated or duplicated. And when you put in, as I said, the correct model, when you put in the correct information for the building, and you subject it to the same fires that they said it was subjected to, which were ordinary office fires, you can't get the building to fall down. That's what the University of Alaska study came to the conclusion. They said, okay, here's the model, here's the fires, let's light it up and see what happens, and the building doesn't come down. So that study was performed under the guidance of Professor Leroy Halsey, who has like me, has over 50 years of experience, and he specializes particularly in structures. And he has a long and distinguished history of, he's an expert in this field, really an expert. And his conclusion is unequivocal, that the building couldn't collapse under those fires. So this is a study that we've long awaited. I mean, it took 4 years for him to complete this study, and we funded it. And we believe that it is... it's the gold standard, and we are putting it out there for the public and for the engineering profession to critique. If anyone can find any problems with it, we will address those problems. Unlike the NIST report, which when we asked for information about their data input, they refused to give it and said that it was it would jeopardize public safety.
Yeah, that's, everything is about public safety except they don't really want to, they don't really believe that. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other aspects of this as well that I think we should question from somebody who has been a licensed civil engineer. You know, when we look at this, why haven't we had a change in the building codes? Why haven't we had a change in firefighting procedures and so forth? So we're going to be right back with Roland Engel. Again, he is with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. That's ae911truth.org. They're the ones who funded this four-year study done by the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. And we'll talk about when and where people can see that full report once it's put up. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking to Roland Engel, and he is with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, ae911truth.org. They funded the four-year engineering study, taking a look at the NIST report, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, as they point out. Most people, not even engineers, it's a highly technical report that's about 11,000 pages long, so people are just going to go with the authoritative source, take a look at their conclusion, and not look at the data. They're trying to encourage people to take a look at this to do a sanity check on it, or as they call it, project due diligence, to see that they're not telling us the full truth here. And one of the questions that I have, Roland, is, you know, there's been a lot of people questioning whether or not the fires, even in the buildings that were hit by an airplane, of course, you were talking about Building 7, where it was just ordinary fires, but even in the buildings that were hit by an airplane, is there going to be sufficient temperature there to melt the steel rapidly and just cause it to essentially vaporize so it can do a free fall, in your opinion?
Well, then you're talking about jet fuel, and it burns at only about maybe 600-700 degrees centigrade, and your steel is not going to it's going to lose some strength at that temperature, but it's not going to melt by any means.
It's not going to just disappear, like, so it can have a free fall of several stories all at once, right?
No, I mean, you can tell when you turn on your gas oven in your home that fossil fuel burning doesn't affect significantly the strength of steel.
And so then the problem gets even worse when you're talking about a building that wasn't even hit with an airplane, had no impact, and it didn't even have the jet fuel there. But let me ask you this as well. You know, they've had the Empire State Building was hit by a plane way back. Isn't this part of the building code that they would also design this to withstand a plane impact? Because you're building the tallest building in New York City. Wouldn't that be part of the building code at the time?
Yeah, the designer of the building, John Skilling, designed it to take a hit from a commercial airliner, a 707 at that time. And the buildings did withstand the impact of the airliners very clearly. They hardly moved at all, really. And the fires that erupted afterwards were the jet fuel actually burned off within a few minutes. And most of it exploded outside of the building. Mm-hmm. And what was left burned off within a few minutes. Even NIST admits that. So they claim that the highest temperatures that the steel members experienced in the towers was something like 600 degrees centigrade. And that was as a result of the very limited inspection they did of the steel. And they said that was the highest temperature that they found. However, there was a piece of steel that was saved by FEMA from Building 7, and it indicated that there had been temperatures that were so high that the steel had melted, and there was structural molecular changes that occurred within the steel specimen. And they also discovered that there was sulfur in that mixture. So that would indicate that there was some sort of an incendiary in the building that was able to melt steel at that lower temperature, because that's putting sulfur into, say, thermite would allow the temperature of the steel it would melt at a lower temperature. So that's a very significant finding. FEMA included that in their preliminary investigation. NIST did not address that issue at all. And in fact, most of the steel, except for that one piece in Building 7, was hauled off. That was the only piece of steel that was saved from Building 7. So there's a lot of anomalies here that precluded a thorough forensic investigation. And in addition, there was independent researchers analyzed the dust from the buildings and found that there was explosive residue in the dust, and that was found in four separate samples by independent investigators and was published in a peer-reviewed journal. So these questions, again, NIST did not address. So and the fact that they themselves didn't check for explosive evidence is actually a violation of the building code, the fire code, that they required that in a failure of this type, they were required by the code to investigate for the residue of incendiaries, and they did not do so. So that's another that have with their report. So there's just so many anomalies here when you begin to get into it that, from an engineering standpoint, you just can't accept these reports as being valid. They need to be redone, and the evidence needs to be reinvestigated by a peer reviewed and an impartial group of investigators, scientists, chemists, engineers, physicists, demolition experts. These are the kinds of people that have no bias and no prejudice and no conflicts of interest that need to examine this evidence and come up with a real investigation that will stand the light of day.
And, of course, President Trump, I played this at the beginning of the program, on that day that it happened, he was contacted by a local news media organization, and he said, quite frankly, I don't even understand how this could happen. I mean, he rejected that prima facie. This just couldn't have happened. He said, I inspected the place. I went there with a guy who designed it after they'd had that bomb in the basement that blew out half the columns at the foundation, and nothing happened to it. So he goes, I don't really understand this. And goes, and you look at this, and both he and the anchor were saying, yeah, you can see this massive explosion that happens there. And he goes, yeah, I think there was explosives on that plane at the very least, something like that, because he said a plane and the fuel wouldn't do that. So he didn't buy it right up front. And here you've got a study that you funded for 4 years, and they say, no, it a 4-year study shows it disproves this as well. Now, you're talking about the indications of explosives, and this is also part of a move by another group, lawyers, to try to, I think it's a Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Truth or something like that. They're trying to get a grand jury convened to take a look at this other evidence that would indicate that there's explosives there. And, of course, you've had experience in special forces with explosives. You believe that that's the likely scenario there based on the physical evidence that's been uncovered that NIST didn't want to look at, right?
Well, how do you explain explosive residue except with explosives?
There you go.
And where are you going to go with that? It's evidence. It's physical evidence. It can't be denied. Mm-hmm. And if you look at that residue, you have to say there were explosives here. Where do they come from?
That's true. Yeah, it can't be denied, but it can be ignored. And they can put up another narrative, and they can push that with everything that they've got in the mainstream media. And they had pretty much a monopoly on information at the time of September 11th, and they're trying to get back to that position now as well. And I think that's the real issue here, and that's why it's so important, the work that you're doing there at AE911truth.org. It's very important for people to get the other opinions and to take a look at this in detail and understand how this just isn't possible. Thank you so much for joining us, Roland Engel. And again, one last thing, Roland, when is that going to be put up? I saw an article said they expected that report would be uploaded to the internet sometime between the middle of the and the end of this month. Is that correct?
You should be able to find it right now. I looked at it last. If you go to our website and go to presentations, there's a link there to the University of Alaska Fairbanks study online. You can look at it right now. It's
all
about
right,
100.
All right, we've got nothing to hide. If we're looking for the truth, we're not trying to hide anything. It's the other people that don't want you to see all of this evidence who look the other way as this comes out. All right, we've got to go to break here in just a moment. Before we do, real quickly, I want to tell you about the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because that's what funds this program. That's what keeps us going. And as I said before, they want to make sure that you believe their official narrative, because they want to make sure that's the only thing that you see. They don't want anybody questioning what they're doing, like AE911truth.org. They don't want you to see an analysis that pulls apart their official story. That's what we do
here, Travis,
on a regular basis. Thank you so much, Roland. I appreciate that. So, folks, if you want to support us here at InfoWars, take a look at the products we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have a new product, Chill Force. It is now being offered as part of a combination with Brain Force. Brain Force you can get for 50% off when you buy a bottle of Chill Force that will help you to relax. Chronic stress is very, very real, and it can have some very real effects for not only your sleep, but for also your heart disease and high blood pressure. So take a look at our new product, Chill Force. We also have our new skin cream, Super Silver Skin Cream. Skin cream with nano silver to fight bacteria and viruses. You can get many other specials. We got 50% off DNA Force and a free bottle of Carnivore. You'll find all that at InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget to go to band.video.
Free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I want to take your calls and comments on this 18th anniversary of 9/11. That number, if you want to join the program with your calls and comments, is 888-201-2244. That's 888-201-2244. If you want to talk about 9/11, and the aftermath of what has happened over the last 18 years. Before we do, real quickly, I want to just go into John Bolton bolting out of the White House. Or was he fired? Did he, you can't fire me, I quit? Or was he fired before he could quit? I don't know. Who cares? The important thing is that he's gone. And we're glad that he's gone. We were very concerned when he got hired. And I want to know why he was hired. I never understood why he was hired. I never understood why Rex Tillerson was brought in. Rex Tillerson, a guy who it was pretty obvious from the get-go that he was going to be pushing the climate change treaty out of Paris. and all this climate change, man-made climate change narrative. Yeah, I got a lot of people push back on me when I said that. I was tweeting about that as it was announced that he was being considered, that he was in the top running. I said, you can put this guy in. Look at his history. And everybody's saying, oh, no, he's not going to be for that. He was a CEO of Exxon. It's like, well, you don't understand then that the big oil companies are the guys that are pushing this the hardest. They've already gotten in on the ground floor of these new alternative fuels that they're pushing on everybody. And they also want to corner the market, the market that they control a large part of. They want to make sure that that is very rare and expensive. And so, yeah, of course, Exxon, Rex Tillerson, were in on that. Of course, it was also the troubling aspects of his pedophile proclivities there as head of the Boy Scouts, what he had done there. But then we had Gary Cohen, the globalist banker that was brought in the Trump administration, Scaramucci, all these different people. Is anybody, you know, we got people getting bounced out of the White House, but does anybody ever card these people on their way in? Does anybody ever do any vetting of these people? I just don't understand what's going on with this apprentice game that's being played at the White House. Pompeo is still there, by the way. The guy says, you know, we lie, we cheat. We have classes on that at the CIA. He's still there. You know, they're still fine with that. And he had this to say, as people were criticizing President Trump, again, the very people who absolutely hated John Bolton, they said, are now criticizing President Trump for firing John Bolton. I'm not criticizing him for firing him. I criticized him for hiring him. I'm glad that he fired him. But here's Pompeo responding to some of the people taking the opportunity again, because I always criticize everything that President Trump does. And he responded to that. Video 3.
So last night, the president asked for Ambassador Bolton's resignation. As I understand it, it was received this morning. The president's entitled to the staff that he wants at any moment. This is a staff person who works directly for the president of the United States, and he should have people that he trusts and values and whose efforts and judgments benefit him in delivering American foreign policy. It's what, as cabinet member Secretary Mnuchin and I try and do each and every day, and when the president makes a decision like this, he's well within his rights to do so. We all give our candid opinions. There were many times Ambassador Bolton and I disagree, that's to be sure, but that's true for lots of people with whom I interact. My mission set is always to make sure, as I run the Department of State, is to deliver America's diplomacy and to work with the team, whether it's the Treasury or the President's staff, to make sure we get good outcomes. I know everyone's talked about this for an awfully long time. There were definitely places that Bolton and I had different views about how we should proceed.
Again, he says he's entitled to have people there whose views he respects. I don't know what there is to respect about Bolton's views. I don't know how he differed with Pompeo, because it seems to me they're both pretty much war hawks. But now we see this, well, I'm no fan of Bolton, but, as coming out, right? And as one individual tweeted out, can't wait for the resistance led by Matt Owl, Donald, and Hayes to embrace John Bolton as their newest hero joining the resistance. And although they didn't say anything, you did have Joe Scarborough, Morning Joe, jump in and do that already. And, of course, they're lining up to criticize President Trump for getting rid of this neocon scumbag trying to get us involved in a worldwide war that they always oppose. But now it's a bad thing when President Trump fires him. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Well, that's where we live, isn't it? In a world of deceit. In a world where, even after they produce a report to find out what happened on 9/11, we're not allowed to see it. They classify large sections of it, try to keep them secret. And then as you get somebody, you know, one of the best ways to bury something, and I've seen governments do this before, is exactly what NIST did with their 11,000-page report. You know, we had Roland Engel from AE911truth.org, Architects and Engineers from 911truth.org, joining us in the last segment, the last half hour of the last hour. And he was talking about how they had funded that new report that came out of the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, a report that was 4 years in the making. And they basically looked in detail at this 11,000-page report. And that's one of the ways that the government hides stuff. I remember when we tried to get information about things that the government was doing, a lot of times they'll dump all the data out there and they'll say, well, see, it's all here, but nothing is summarized. You try to get a budget, for example. I remember back when we were in North Carolina trying to get the state budget. They would just give us a data dump with no categories, no summaries, thousands and thousands of pages. And it's like, okay, well, you know, we're not going to give it to you in any form other than a printed form. So you're not even going to be able to search it or pull it into a spreadsheet or anything. You can go through and try to total that up with your adding machine. That's one way that you can hide everything. Just put it in a mountain of data. You know, put that those needles in a giant haystack. And that's one of the ways that they've done it. But in other ways, they've just flat out refused to tell anybody what's going on. And we had Senator Bob Graham talk about that. But we got a lot of people who've called in. They want to make their comments about 9/11 and how it has transformed our world into a post-republic, post-constitution, post-Bill of Rights America. If you want to join the program and comment, that number is 888-201-2244. That's 888-201-2244. Let's go first to Bill in Wisconsin. Thank you for calling, Bill. Go ahead.
Hey, David. Thanks for taking my call. But yeah, 9/11 opened my eyes, and it was a couple years after the fact, but it was Alex. I'm wearing your guys' 9/11 t-shirt. Was an inside job right now. It's my anniversary shirt. And I just try to tell as many people as I can, you know, it woke me up. Yeah, wait, three buildings went down from two planes and, you know, and all that stuff. But you were talking about the Patriot Act. And I saw what a joke that is, because if you remember, there was that compound in like Arizona or something where they're training little children to be terrorists and they found the dead baby. And yeah, then they ended up letting them go. Like, they, I think they released them. It's like, that's what the Patriot Act was put into place for, and you guys just ended up letting the people go.
Joke. Oh, yeah. Oh, we can point to, you know, an infinite number of these types of occasions. I mean, just look at what happened on Monday, right there in the 9/11 Memorial Building, where the Senate was holding that, talking about 9/11, talking about Homeland Security, and they had three former directors of Homeland Security, and they were saying, what were the threats? Well, the threats were climate change, and then Jay Johnson said, guns, guns, guns. That's the threat to everybody, right? And so it's absolutely absurd what they're talking about. It's a phony narrative from the get-go. If they believed their own reports, if they believed their own narratives, they would be acting completely differently. And, you know, we look at what's happened with TSA, for example, right? This is nothing but harassment and conditioning. For example, the guy talking about Alaska and where they did the report, the guy that went into the FBI office and said, I'm hearing all these voices, help me. You know, they didn't do anything. Say, you're okay. Go ahead. You know, he gets on a plane. He got through TSA security as their own internal testing saying that, you know, about 80 to 90% typically when they do a test of TSA procedures, about 80, 90% of the people can slip through with a weapon. So he got through with a weapon. He flew from Alaska to Florida. And then when he arrived in Florida, he started shooting people up in the luggage collection area. So, I mean, this whole thing is a fraud, but it is a useful narrative, and that's why we need to attack it head on. It is a useful narrative for taking away our freedom and telling us that they're going to make us safe.
Yeah, Minneapolis, over by me here, I'm on the border, and I think they did the worst when they got tested. Like, 90% of everything got through. But, yeah, and, you know, it's like funny that Mueller is kind of at the head of all of this corruption starting way back then. But for me, I am really sold on Trump. You know, we can complain about certain things not getting done and everything, but if it was anybody other than him, we'd be in a whole different spot right now. Even if it was Ted Cruz, especially if the Bushes or Clinton got in, you know.
I agree. Yeah, I just had hoped that he would disagree with them more. Like I've said before, I would have hoped that he would disagree with them more, but be less disagreeable about it. Instead, he has kind of gone along, you know, he's now embraced the never-ending Afghanistan war. And in return, I guess, the Secretary of Defense said, all right, we'll give you $3.6 billion for your wall. How about that? You know, because I don't know how many billions of dollars we're going to spend if we never leave Afghanistan. And there is no military solution there, as the generals themselves will tell you. There's no military. So why are we still there after 20 years? We've not won one of these wars that have been, you know, a nation-building war, an asymmetric war. We've never won any of those. We're not going to win Afghanistan. And yet we have been at a constant state of war since September 11th. And I was hoping that President Trump would do that. But it just shows you, I think it shows you, that regardless of what he wants to do, there are other people that are really in control.
Yeah, it's a horrible, slow battle. And, you know, when you see things like getting rid of Bolton is, you know, definitely a step in the right direction. And it's just, it's slow going, but none of this stuff would ever be happening with anybody else. But anyway, really love your show, man. Thanks for taking my call. And,
well, thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm glad that he got rid of Bolton. But again, he didn't inherit Bolton from Obama. He brought Bolton in. So that's the question I've got for it. Let's go to Chase the Patriot in California. Thanks for holding, Chase. Go ahead.
Hey, David, thanks for taking my call. You know, I always try to catch your show. First time I've been able to call into it, so thanks for taking it.
Hey, oh, you know, great. Thank you.
9/11, yeah, you know, 9/11 today, and it's just kind of a sad thing because December 7th goes by every day or every year, and people forget about the day that lives in infamy, that being Pearl Harbor. And now, not even 20 years later, and it seems like people just go about their lives and barely even think about the attacks on 9/11. And people get an opportunity, what I want them to be able to do is go find a website. You can go to the 9/11 Memorial and Museum. Go look at the list of the names on the memorial and just scroll through. And when people actually see the number of Americans that were killed on that day, when they see the number of names A through Z, it'll really put an impact on what they did. And so when you start to get into all the different angles of how and why it went down, and all the families now trying to get to a lawsuit right now to get more of the investigation open, it really makes you think about all the different things going on and all the strings being pulled from every angle.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've seen stories of children that were born to fathers who died in that building. That, you know, they were the mothers were pregnant with them when the father died. Never knew their father, so forth. There are real, as you point out, you take a look at those names, actual names there, and it helps to give you an idea of the immensity of this. And that is a very powerful thing. But it also, when I look at that, I can't help from getting angry about the fact that the families are not being helped. And angry about the fact that we have sent soldiers off in wars that we're not going to win, and we're going to continue to do that. Send them off to a fake war in Iraq based on lies that were obtained by torture. And I have to question, why was that woman promoted to be head of the CIA? I just look at this and I shake my head. I just shake my head. Yeah, absolutely.
David, that's such a great point. That's a great point because, you know, today what we're seeing with the attack on the Second Amendment, with the red flag laws, none of that would have been acceptable before 9/11. But you
That's
see
right.
exactly with the Patriot Act, they eroded and destroyed the Fourth Amendment especially. And if that was accepted, if people allowed that to happen, now they're doing the same thing. And remember what Ben Franklin and just about every founding father told us. If we
That's
try
right.
to trade our liberty for security, we're going to wake up with neither one.
That's right. And you don't deserve either one. You never get either one. To that degree, you become a slave, a serf. You're in prison. And that's the key thing. We cannot allow our sympathy for the people who died to blind us to what's really being done to our liberties. That affects us as well, our lives as well. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. As we listen to the music from The Great Escape, I guess the question is, how do we escape this prison that has been built in the wake of 9/11? Destroying our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, keeping us involved eternally in these wars. I think the best example of this is Afghanistan. Today we had another rocket blast reported as 9/11 began in Afghanistan, the early Wednesday local time in Afghanistan. There was a huge rocket blast reported near the U.S. Embassy. Just minutes into the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, Taliban car bombings, reports the New York Post, led to the deaths of several civilians and two members of NATO last week. A U.S. service member was also killed. There are currently about 14,000 troops stationed in Afghanistan. Trump has called their continued presence there ridiculous. He said, "We've been a peacekeeper there in a way for 19 years. He said that last month. He said, at a certain point, you have to say that that's long enough. And yet, apparently, it isn't, because Lindsey Graham wants us to stay there. The military-industrial complex wants us to stay there. And President Trump this week said, we're going to stay there. We're going to keep a presence there. We're reducing the presence very substantially. We're not fighting a war over there. We're just policemen. We also said we've been serving as policemen, and that's not really the role of our great men and women in the military. We should not be the policemen of the world. I thought that was what we were voting for. And so as I see Lindsey Graham getting his way in Afghanistan, I guess I can hear John McCain laughing from hell, because that's basically where he has trapped us in these unending wars. You know, arming these people, these various terrorist organizations. Again, if we go back and we look at anything to do with the history of this, it wasn't that long ago that John McCain, in order to take down the Soviet Empire, the Soviet Union, was going around to Republican fundraisers with some of the Mujahideen, telling them they could adopt a Muj. You know, you can sponsor this guy, and he's going to, you know, fight the Russians and do roadside bombs and so forth. And that was when they were the good guys, right? Then they became the bad guys. You know, they were Al-Qaeda. And then they went to Syria, and they were both the bad guys and the good guys. They were both ISIS and al-Nusra, and they were just basically al-Qaeda. And he was meeting with them, and he was helping to give them arms and weapons. And so I guess when I look at this, and I look at the Pew Research poll that came out not too long ago, 64% of veterans say that Iraq was not worth fighting. Only 33% believe that George Bush's war there was worthwhile. 58% of veterans believe the Afghanistan war was not worth fighting. And that's almost identical to Americans in general. 59% of Americans as a whole, even if they didn't go there, say the same thing the veterans did. And the veterans who served there and say that the Iraq and Afghanistan wars were not worth doing, it doesn't really matter what their rank was or what their combat experience was. It's the same. We can understand that this is not what we want our country to be. And yet, how do we change this? I don't know. Let's go to some of our callers and see what they have to say about 9/11. Let's go to Jonathan in Miami. Thank you for holding, Jonathan. Go ahead.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Knight.
Good morning.
Again. All right. Oh, wow. Where did we begin here? This is crazy. Like, it's so surreal.
Yeah, 18 years of history and bad things that have been happening. So where do we jump into this, right?
I don't know. I wish I had some chill for us right now, because I'm suffering from anxiety. Like, just thinking, not just from the event, just everything that has happened as a result of that event. This is craziness. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. Anyhow, when I watched that for the first time, I mean, the segment you had with Roland, that was pretty informative. But it's a shame that it takes all of this money and all of these years to prove what is blatant. Like, when I looked at it, I mean, anyone with cognitive thinking, any degree of cognitive thinking, could have looked at that video like, this is, like, theoretically impossible here. Wait, what just happened? It's the top of the building. Falls into its footprint. Come on. All right.
Well, the key thing is that they don't want you to look. You know, they know that you're not going to look through the 11,000 pages of the report. They know you're going to look at the summary. You're going to look at, well, these are the people who said that. I got to believe them. They also know that most Americans aren't going to really look at these buildings falling in their footprint. I frankly didn't look at it. Like I said, I didn't have TV for a long time. I didn't look at that for a long time. But if you look at controlled demolitions and you see how difficult it is to make them fall in their footprint, on YouTube, if you look at skyscrapers, in many cases that have burned, steel skyscrapers that have burned for days and never, ever collapsed. They might have bent, they might have, you know, twisted over or whatever, but they've never, ever collapsed like that. You have to start asking yourself, you know, is this absolutely possible? Most people who look at it, who are shown the videos, as AE 9/11 Truth said, most people, if they see the actual videos of this happening from four different angles, they don't believe it.
Right. Right. I mean, when I first heard about the 7, I was like, wait, there's another building that fell? And I can't remember where I found that at. Something online. I'm like, wait. It was probably
because they really hit that Twin Tower thing. They just want you to think about it as being two buildings and two planes, but it's three buildings and two planes.
Oh yeah, and then the planes that vanished. They crashed. Well, where is the plane? Plane crashed in the Pentagon. Where is that plane? I mean, yeah. See a hole.
Oh yeah,
the explosion. All right.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about the Pentagon and how absurd that is. Really? That's absolutely amazing. And I've told this story before, Jonathan, but I went to my wife and I went to a vacation location that's not too far from Austin. And we were in a tourist gift shop, and it was just my wife was looking through it, and I was just standing there by the door because I wasn't interested. And the lady was kind of lonely and wanting to talk. She'd been there all day, and she's telling me how she and her husband had set this up after they retired from the military. And she started telling me about how she worked for the accounting people. She said, yeah, it was that office right there where we were finding all kinds of fraud, and I got out of there just a couple of weeks before that hit. And she said, we had congressmen who were not going to run for office again, quietly take an exit so they didn't get prosecuted and so forth. She said, we found billions of dollars that were missing there. And I got out of there just before that plane hit. And I said, She doesn't make the connection because all she does is she watches Fox News. That's where she gets all of her news. I asked her.
Wow. All right. The last part. That seemed really ridiculous. That fireproof, explosion-proof passport. Well, what's up with that? Like, so this survived. This is fireball that leveled this building, but this passport that was on that plane could fall down, totally intact. Like,
that's one of my favorites too. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the whole idea that, and I've been very suspicious of, you know, the phone call. You know, the wife didn't actually talk to the people that were on United, was it Flight 93 or whatever. That was an intermediate operator who talked to him for a very long time but never patched the guy through to the wife. And I'm thinking, you know, since when, you know, do you have phone calls that go that long on a plane or, you know, the Ken Olson, who was the lawyer for that? I am suspicious as I am. I think that's one of the reasons why they tell everybody, you got to put your phones down. Not because it's going to cause the plane to crash. I mean, the plane wouldn't get off the ground if it was going to be interfered with by cell phone signals, because there's more of them on the ground than would be in the air. But I think that was so that you wouldn't realize what they're telling you about the phone calls is absolutely impossible. We'll be back with more of your phone calls. Stay with us.
Liberty, it's your move. And now, the David Knight Show.
Wow, I was just handed this article here in Austin. They're now going to be using taxpayer dollars to help people get abortions because, you know, we are a sanctuary city for foreign citizens criminally trespassing, but not for babies. And they've gotten to the point now where they no longer shy away from using the term baby. You know, they would always say fetus or whatever, unborn. Oh, it's just a bunch of cells or whatever that I'm going to make a lot of money from, by the way. But they would they wouldn't use the term baby. And then you had a late-term abortionist done with the BBC, as I played last week. And he said, it's a baby show. Wait a minute. You're saying baby now. Most abortionists won't use the term baby. No, it's a baby. It's a baby. I don't have any problem doing that. So it's gotten pretty blatant here, but we're talking about 9/11, and we've got a lot of callers here on the line, and we've got Rick, Mark in Arizona, Uncle Sam in Louisiana, Mark in North Carolina, and I understand Rick DeSantis, you were a survivor of 9/11. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, were you in the building when it happened?
First and foremost, David, I would like to thank you, Alex, Owen, InfoWars, for having the courage to constantly be on the front lines, to always be standing tall and going for the issues of truth, never yielding, never bending. The guest you had on, Roland, who I know, the courage he has. These guys are out here doing this at their own expense, and your products are second to none. Just know that. I mean, the immune wall, the BODs, Ultimate Fish Oil, Krill, DNA Force, B12, Survival Shield. I'm taking them all, and they're keeping me in the fight. And I just wanted you to know that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're in this with you. And quite frankly, nobody is safe if we don't have a rule of law. And that's why, you know, when we look at, and, you know, I I don't ever want to be cold to people who have died as part of a shooting or people who have died as part of a terrorist attack or whatever, but we also have to look at this clearly and understand that it's not going to solve anything to jettison our protections, because the most dangerous thing you can have happen is to be terrorized by your own government, to become a slave to your own government, to live under tyranny. And that, we cannot allow that to happen. Dictatorial governments kill, and they kill more people than terrorists do. Historically, we know that's for true. That is true. But tell us a little bit about your experience on 18 years ago.
Absolutely. Mine's fairly unique. I sent you guys an email today with some more of my pictures, which I didn't release till like 10 years later. I was on the south side, Tower 2. Tower 2, as you know, was hit second, but it came down first. And if you look at my pictures from the south side, you'll know why it came down first, okay, because the fire was out. And that was all documented in the firemen's communications inside and out, and those were classified for many years. They wouldn't release those conversations. But the pictures say it all, and I released them in New York about 10 years later with the release of The Anatomy of the Great Deception. But, you know, it's important to know certain things that I would like to say. One, yes, Mueller was appointed a week before 9/11. Chris Christie was appointed with Bush the day before 9/11. What people don't know is I was in those buildings every day of my life. The bomb dogs were brought in June. They were removed the first week of August. So here we are in August. We're at the highest code alert, the highest color alert, being told this every day, and the dogs are gone. Doesn't make sense.
The dogs that would smell explosives, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. The bomb dogs. The bomb dogs. Absolutely.
Bomb dogs, yeah. Bomb dogs, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you have to understand, I had front row seat. I was holding the lobby doors to Tower 2. I watched...
I know, it's an emotional thing for you to have seen that firsthand.
I watched the second plane come in from the harbor over Battery Park, wibbling and wobbling, and the wings going to the right, to the left, and there's just no way anybody could have been driving that plane. Just there's no way. But anyway, it went in above me. Simultaneously, there were massive explosions below my feet as the plane went in and entered above me. Okay?
Wow.
And I got blown back. I was buried. My assistant, I found him from underneath the car, pulled him out, and I went back in. And I was in both those towers with both planes inside those buildings, and they never moved. They never moved. They never made a sound. I was never scared. I moved about. I moved from the first floor, the lobby floor, Tower 2, which was a Galleria mall, moving over towards Tower 1. So I had to get up to AIG. I was on the phone. I was being told the security guard wouldn't let her leave. You have to realize they kept those people in that building knowing
yes.
what was coming next. And I thank you guys for the courage that you have. And people must understand things aren't right. And these people at architects and engineers, and these people that have spoken out, and these people have put their careers and their lives, including InfoWars, Alex, and yourself, and Owen. You're the heroes of this country. You're the leaders of this country. You never yield. You always, always fight for truth. And I know the dangers. I know what you guys face. And make no mistake, something is very wrong here. You look at this country since 9/11. What has occurred? You look at how after 9/11, we're being told who the enemy was, and yet you're flooding our country with the very same thing now, and you're coming against us. I will never forget how Hillary Clinton attacked us, the victim, in the street, fighting to survive, fighting to keep businesses going, no masks, being told the air quality was fine, being lied to, never leaving ground zero. Many of us dying. They didn't pass the Zadroga Act till 10 years later.
Hundreds of thousands of us died from cancers, diseases, never recorded as 9/11 diseases or illnesses because the CDC never reported on it, never had the AMA send out anything to doctors and physicians treating us. They just treated us as if we were getting pneumonia every 6 weeks and respiratory and pumping us full of Cipro and steroids. And the cost to this nation is beyond comprehension. Not only monetarily, but you look at the lives lost and the families that never were able to occur, the children never had, the things that never, ever went forward. The loss to this nation is immeasurable. And they try to cloud the issue every year, year in and year out, with memorials and this and that, just like they did with Martin Luther King. Okay, put a street in every urban area.
And it is so cynical, like you said, the fact that the CDC and these other government officials would lie to people even after the fact and allow them to be exposed to that, so many people dying. They don't care. They really don't care about people at all. They will. It's just like Madeleine Albright when she was asked, oh, you killed 500,000 kids, and she didn't have any problem saying, yeah, it was worth it. Didn't even blink an eye, didn't even try to walk that back. And you know what? If you ask any of these people who are in on this 9/11 thing, is it worth it to have killed all of these people before and after? They would say, oh, yeah, it was worth it. We got to keep control here. We got to get these structures in place. I mean, it's just unbelievable what monsters they are.
David, make no mistake, you said a key word, evil. And I want to point that out because Alex tries to break it down in simplistic form, as you do, as Owen does, as everybody does involved with InfoWars and many of the other organizations out there. You know, if you understood the size of that 11-building complex, if you understood the size of those towers, I did the corporate Christmas party the year before in the towers. Magnificent building.
It's just absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for calling us. We got to take a quick break. If you want to hold on after the break, we'll let you talk some more. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm ready.
Welcome back, and we have many callers on the line. We're going to try to get to as many people as we want, but I wanted to give Rick DeSantis a little bit more time because you heard how difficult to experience something like that. And to see how that rolled out, to be there in the towers in Tower 2, he said, as the planes came in and the time that he spent there, the betrayal that he saw of the people who were still in the tower and the betrayal that he saw of people there in New York after the event. You know, we look at the death, the suffering, the mental trauma of soldiers and these unending wars everywhere, the amputations and so forth, the lies of the CDC. When you look at this, these people don't care about Americans. They don't think you're human. They don't treat you with respect. They treat you worse than they would treat their lab rats. And anything that they do, they believe it is worth it. Are you going to give up the hard-won protections of your freedom and your due process to these types of people? As we said, they're absolutely evil. They have no moral code whatsoever. Their consciences have been seared with a hot iron. Rick, tell us a little bit more about what you wanted to say about the immensity of that complex. That's what you're talking about when we went to break.
Yes, David. One, first and foremost, people have to understand that many of us are still dying. Many of us still have diseases. They won't provide the medicines our doctors prescribe, but they only give us the ones they want. You understand that the health fund is totally separate from the comp fund that you saw on TV. The health fund is not helping us. But moving on to the size of the evil, I had employees dying of pancreatic cancer left and right away. My head of human resources, stage 4 cancer, 4 times she has battled through it. To understand the evil that Alex speaks to and you speak to and Owen's dealing with down in Austin right now. If you ever were at the World Trade Center and saw and looked up and went inside the size of these buildings, understand these people took these 11 buildings down on 16 acres. without hesitation, did it with people inside, and then sent our young men and women, our future, 18 years, and what have we achieved? You fight a war, you win it in 6 months, or you shouldn't be fighting it. And you also are supposed to get something out of it other than $7 trillion more in debt. Okay.
That's right. So, but they're planning on staying for decades more. They don't. They're not planning on ever leaving, and that's one of the reasons why they got in there. It was a lie from the very beginning, and we now see that as they say we're going to stay there for decades.
I couldn't have said it better, David. I couldn't have said it better. You guys keep up the fight, but when Alex is telling you about an evil, and you are right with the word lab rat, like in Guantanamo and the black sites in China and the ones they were running in Egypt. And everywhere else while they were doing these wars and the absurdity and these men and women coming back here without their minds. And then they push you on antidepressants. That was a big thing they tried to do to us, pushing us on antidepressants, making us total useless zombies. And you, once you fought back, once you pushed back and you went the other way, you became a problem. But America better face something, because on that day when I went back in those towers, and I was carrying women out of there and people out of there on my back into buildings across the street, I wasn't checking their color. They were Americans.
Yeah.
And we're all Americans. And people need to wake up, because the evil we're up against is trying to cut us and dice us and slice us and separate us. And we're getting emotional and we're forgetting who we are. We are Americans. We are not black, brown, yellow, red, or white, or purple, or green, or whatever. We are Americans. Our blood run red, and our clears are salty and clear.
I'm so sorry for what happened to you, but nobody could say it better. And you were there. You saw it. You saw what happened that day and what happened afterwards. Thank you so much, Rick, for sharing that with us, Rick DeSantis. Let's go to Uncle Sam in Louisiana. Go ahead, Uncle Sam. Thank you for holding.
Jesus, how do you follow that?
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God. Yeah, as you know, the test of what I've gotten out on the streets there, from what I do. I mean, I've talked to survivors myself out there. I just talked to an EMT who was on her way to the buildings 2 blocks away, was stopped to take care of some injuries. Bomb squad comes up and tells them to not go any further. They start questioning why, and we're told not to move. And while they're standing there, the road that they were going to go down, the cars started blowing up, just blowing up. And they grabbed their cameras and they took pictures of this. And that night, the company called up and told everybody to turn in their cameras. Well, this lady turned in the camera, but she kept the pictures. I've got video of this.
Wow. Wow. People can find it. Have you posted that on your YouTube site? Again, this is Uncle Sam in Louisiana. He talks to people on the site.
It's there. She never sent me the pictures, so damn it. But,
But you got the interview that you had with her there on the street.
Yes. And she was so upset by that, she quit. She moved to Florida. She just couldn't take it anymore, the lies that were being told. And I've got testimonies from survivors that were in the Twin Towers themselves. And they just echo exactly what Rick just said. The same deal that, you know, what we are being told is a lie. My premise is now is like the disconnect. I mean, I'm even like I'm looking at Breitbart right now, and they're just spewing the same mainstream media bull. And then you have people that are alleged patriots when you come on trying to tell the truth in the comments, calling us cowards, liars, traitors, Muslim sympathizers, you name it, all gambit.
So yeah, why wouldn't they want to have an investigation? Why wouldn't they question the fact that this stuff has been concealed and classified? I mean, even Senator Bob Graham was outraged by it. I mean, they're just absolutely ignorant. They haven't bothered. They don't care enough to even look at the situation or look at any of the reports. They just don't care.
I call them intellectual cowards. Because it's a fight or flight thing. Once you are presented with the absolute truth of this, you're either going to go into fight or flight. You're either going to run for this truth. Because I've had a matter of fact recently, I talked to a New York City policeman that was there that day about this, and he had some questions, but he was on the fence because this is his words. He says, "If I believe what you're telling me about this, it's going to pull the rug out from everything I've ever believed my entire life. And I don't know if I'm ready to do that."
Yeah, I know. Well, we've all been there, haven't we, Uncle Sam? You know, we've all had to face the truth and say, you know what? What I was told, what I believed about these people is absolutely wrong. And that's why I don't carry the water for any politician or anybody. I mean, I look at what they do. And if they're lying to my face, if they're stringing me along, if they're telling me what I want to hear, I don't continue to go that way because I'm sorry, because of 9/11, I just don't trust any of these people, and we never should have trusted them.
Amen to that. Well, yeah, three buildings, two planes, do the math, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for calling us. Let me try to get to some of these other callers. Mark in Arizona. I know you've been holding for a long time. Go ahead, Mark. Thank you for calling.
Can you hear me, David?
I got you. Go ahead.
All righty. The second to the last person, Rick, man, someone needs to give that man a hug big time.
I know. But I know. I can imagine what he's dealing with today. Yeah.
I to all the survivors out there, I can't imagine the horrors you guys seen, but it's so upsetting. But also, this whole thing is a farce. It's ridiculous how here we are 18 years later from the tragic day, and nothing is being done. You had Bush, you had Obama.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they lied to us about what happened. They lied to us about what they're going to do. And this whole thing is built on a foundation of lies. Thank you so much, Mark. I got to say to Mark in North Carolina, Mark, if you want to call in tomorrow, we'll take you right at the beginning of the program. I'm sorry that you had to hang on for a long time and couldn't get in. But that's all the time that we got for today. Thank you for listening. All right. That's it for the broadcast. Thank you.